Word for word.
Pumsam.
Of the people.
Ata.
Therefore.
Vivida karma bi.
By various fruitive activities.
Advara adyai.
By performance of Vedic rituals.
Danina.
By charities.
Cha.
And.
Ugra.
Very hard.
Tapasa.
Austerities.
Paricharyaya.
By transcendental service.
Cha.
Also.
Araranam.
Worship.
Bhagavata.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Tava.
Your.
Satkriyata.
Simply for pleasing your lordship.
Dharma.
Religion.
Arpita.
So offered.
Kaichid.
At any time.
Mniyate.
Vanquishes.
Na.
Never.
Yatra.
There. Translation. By the pious activities of the people, such as performance of Vedic rituals, charity, austere penances, and transcendental service, performed with a view to worship you and satisfy you by offering you the fruitive results, are also beneficial. Such acts of religion never go in vain. Translation, please repeat. But the pious activities of the people,
such as performance of Vedic rituals,
charity,
austere penances,
and transcendental service,
perform with a view to worship you,
and satisfy you by offering you the fruitive results,
are also beneficial.
Such acts of religion never go in vain. Purport. Absolute devotional service conducted in 9 different spiritual activities, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, etc., does not always appeal to people with a pompous nature. They are more attracted by the Vedic superficial rituals and other costly performances of social religious shows. But the process according to the Vedic injunctions is that the fruits of all pious activities should be offered to the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 9:27, the Lord demands that whatever one may do in one's daily activities, such as worship, sacrifice, offering charity, all the results should be offered to him only. This offering of the results of pious acts under the Supreme Lord is a sign of devotional service to the Lord and is of permanent value, whereas enjoying the same results for oneself is only temporary. Anything done on account of the Lord is a permanent asset and accumulates in the form of unseen piety for gradual promotion to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. These undetected pious activities will one day result in full-fledged devotional service by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, any pious act done on account of the Supreme Lord is also recommended here for those who are not pure devotees. Translation, but the pious activities of the people, such as performance of Vedic rituals, charity, austere penances and transcendental service, perform with a view to worship you and satisfy you by offering you the fruitive results, are also beneficial. Such acts of religion never go in vain. So it seems here now that Brahma, after stating the topmost position of spiritual life, in that one completely surrenders to worshipping the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and done with love, done with pure, spontaneous love, just like those, the residents of Vrindavan have love for Krishna, and they don't know other things, they just know Krishna, and they reciprocate, and Krishna reciprocates with them. This is the topmost position of perfection in spiritual life. So Lord Brahma very emphatically stated this position. And he said, furthermore, he said that the rituals, although very gorgeously performed, elaborate arrangement, the different yagyas and so on, not so satisfying to you as the pure pure love in a spontaneous, very simple way, in a very simple way. Krishna is more attracted by that when it's with love and simplicity than elaborate arrangements. And yesterday I was telling the story of King Indra, who worshipped after feeling afraid when he tried to drown all the inhabitants of Vrindavan by pouring the rain incessantly. Krishna saved them by holding up the Govardhan hill. Then he came and he did the big worship of Krishna. But afterwards the cowherd boys came and they did some spontaneous worship and just fanning Krishna out of it. So a simple, a loving exchange. So Krishna enjoyed that more than even the big worship that Indra, costly with the big offerings to him, that Indra had performed. So Lord Brahma, he very emphatically states this position. And is the duty of all acharyas. Of course, he is the founder acharya of the sampradaya. So he always has to state what is the topmost position. And then, of course, now, in this verse, he is giving some concession that those who are not on the on this topmost levels and don't feel spontaneous love for Krishna, then their activities are not in vain. That someone may not be able to be directly on that platform or engaged in these activities of just what we call Bhagavat Marg, just Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Parasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. These are what Prabhupada mentions. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying. This does not always appeal to all people. Some people prefer the elaborate rituals, yagyas. They prefer giving the charity. They prefer doing very austere penances, tapasya. They prefer just trying to go to the snow of the Himalaya and sitting in the yoga position, doing the meditation. They prefer that thing than just chanting. They think this is just maybe sentimental, just like when Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi. He was chanting and dancing, and many people were following him, also chanting. And so some of the disciples, sannyasi disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati, who were followers of their guru, and he was the follower of Sankaracharya. So they saw, and they were very critical of Lord Chaitanya. He is supposed to be sannyasi. Sannyasi is meant not for these types of chanting, dancing things. They're meant for tapasya. They're meant for study. They're meant for the meditation on the Brahman. These things, not this chanting, dancing thing. So they told their guru. The one sannyasi has come, his name is this Chaitanya. We were observing him, many people following him also, just chanting, dancing. So Prakasananda, he was elderly guru and a big sannyasi, many disciples. And he said that, oh, this is not very good, he's doing like that, because it brings ill repute to the sannyas ashram. Sannyas ashram must be very sober, dhira, grave, doing tapasya, studying, these things. Not laughing, chanting, dancing. These things are the activities of the sentimentalists, of the mundaners. This is bringing shame to the ashram. But then, of course, he asked her that he is. Is he young? Is he young? He said, oh yes, he is young. He said, oh well, maybe because he is young, he is He is just naive. He's inexperienced. Maybe he got mixed up with some bad association. Maybe some gypsies were like that and they influenced him. So he said like that, we'll bring him in our camp again, we'll rectify him. That was his idea. Bring him in the camp, we'll rectify him. And this cannot be allowed to continue. Now this is stated in the descriptions of there in so many different shastras, what was the mood of Prakasananda Saraswati. So, of course, at that time, Lord Chaitanya, he was visiting in the, he was staying in the house of Tapan Mishra. Staying in the house of Tapan Mishra and taking meals in the house of Chandrasekhar. I get a bit confused sometimes which house and which place he was taking the meal. But anyway, he was staying like that. One Brahmin came who was very affectionate to Lord Chaitanya, and he had heard the criticism from the Mayavadi sannyasi. He was very upset. You know, there are some of the sannyasis here, the disciples of the Prakasananda, and also he himself. They're criticizing. I'm very sad to hear that and upset. Please show your mercy on them. They are offenders. You are the Divine Lord, and they are offending you. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya just smiled. Later on, that he said something, a statement like, we shall see. But later on, there was a lunch organized, and they were all invited, and Lord Chaitanya was invited there, and he went there. He just sat in the place where they just throw the plates. And then Prakasananda and all his disciples came. But they were very attracted to when he was sitting. He actually manifested a great effulgence, Lord Chaitanya. You know, the Brahman effulgence, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Brahman is just emanating from the Supreme Lord. So no problem for Lord Chaitanya to manifest just a little bit of that thing. Because he knew that actually they were aspiring to go to that platform. And just to manifest a little bit of their effulgence. They saw him like the sun sitting there. So they were very astounded, very attracted to him. Oh, who is this? He looks like the God himself. Of course, they would think we were all God. But he is manifest. He is truly of that position. So they went over Prakasananda and he said, you are sitting here in the place of the dirty plates. Please come here. So they brought him like that. And then they would begin. This long discussion went on like that. Why are you, doing these types of activities, this is activities of the sentimentalists and so on and so forth. You all should be studying Vedanta Sutra, all these things, and doing the tapasya, none of this singing and dancing. And so Lord Chaitanya, he started by saying, my guru, he said I was a fool. I am not qualified to do this study and all these things. Lord Chaitanya, before he was Nimai Pandit, he defeated the Keshava Kashmiri, all Digvijaya conquering pundit, just when he was a boy. When he took the initiation, he said, yes, he told me I'm full, and only I should just do this chanting. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya was a great scholar, but he presented like that. But then he began to quote from the various shastras about the power of this chanting. What is the effect? So on and so forth. So by his presence, his effulgence, and by his speaking, he was even the great Prakasananda Saraswati, who had been a long time following, their minds turned, and they became very convinced by his presentation. This is the effect of a great personality. Even those who are very addicted and attached, either to the sense gratification or even to the impersonal path, they can be, their minds can be attracted again to the personal path of love of Godhead and so on, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So they were very attracted, and they actually became the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Great personalities like that can change everything and bring one to the highest position. So those who are they're attracted to these types of things. doing. So they were doing the tapasya, studying. Others are attracted to just rituals. They very much like rituals. They, you know, like so many mantras and fire and so many different arrangements like that. They like that type of thing. Their nature is like that. So these things are mentioned in the Shastras. Here, of course, Lord Brahma says that those who cannot come to just this level of just hearing, chanting, remembering, following the Bhagavat Marg of this process, always chanting, is the Haridas Thakur, always chanting, hearing, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, Shravanam, Kirtanam, remembering, all these things. If one can solely engage in these activities, then this is the topmost position. But of course, we have this Bhagavat Marg, and on the other side we have Panchatriki Marg, enable us to keep ourselves in the mode of goodness, so we can continue to chanting. Therefore, we follow some simple procedures, very simplified procedures of the deity worship, routine regulations, so on and so forth. Of course, in the Vedic Shastras, there's so many more other descriptions of so many rituals, especially of worshipping the devas, the demigods. But here Brahma says, actually, one is attracted to the rituals and ceremonies, yajna and so forth. Really, all these things should be done for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not for others. Yat karoshi rashanasi, yat jahoshi rashi, yat tapasya kote. Tat kurushvamana apanam. I think Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita here. That actually all the activities, all that you give away, all your charity, everything should be done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. The devas actually are the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they take the offerings that are offered to the Lord are offered to them as prasad. There was one story of a devotee, he was a Vaishnava devotee, and he was worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he was worshipping, he was not very wealthy, he was quite poor. But his brother, who was worshipping Chandi Devi, demigoddess, he was quite wealthy. And he lived nearby. So the Vaishnava devotee, the other brother, he wanted to offer some nice flowers. He didn't have nice flowers. And his brother had nice flowers. So he went to his brothers, took some flowers, and offered to Lord Vishnu. So his brother found out, why you took those flowers? You never even asked, you just offered. And they are meant for the Chandi Devi, and you just took yourself. It was very chastising to his brother. So then at night time, the brother, when he was sleeping, in a dream, Chandi Devi came to him. She said, why are you unnecessarily chastising your poor brother like that? He is offering the flowers to my master. Oh, in the dream he was talking with me. Oh, I didn't know that the Lord Vishnu was your master. Oh, yes. Why you didn't tell me? He said, you never asked. Yes, here's my master. I'm very happy that the flowers are meant for me, offered to him. Now I'm very, very happy. He is my master. Oh, I never knew. And so then, maybe I should just directly, like my brother, become the devotee of Lord Vishnu. He said, yes, yes, very good. I will be very happy, she said. So then he became famous as the great Chandidas. Chandidas, he was devotee of Chandi, but Chandidas, but then he became the devotee of Lord Vishnu. So demigod is very happy. Very happy that you're worshipping the Supreme Person. They are his servants. But others, they are trying to do directly the offerings to the devas, and they're generally praying for some benefits. Please give me nice house, please give me nice car, please give me this or so many things. Give me money. They're praying. They want material things, so they think that they will just directly go to demigods. But actually, Krishna says, there are these things actually given by myself, because I'm providing all the things of the world, and the demigods are just appointed to distribute. So I'm engaging them in some service. They are big positions, no doubt, but still they are my servants. Actually, the offerings and all that is given to anyone is actually coming from me. So one who has intelligence, they will go directly to the Supreme Personality. No need. The devas are actually happy. Don't worry. But of course, people there have got their nature, and they like to worship the deva. They like to do the ritual, different thing, sometimes tradition. Even Lord Krishna's father, Nanda, every year tradition was do the Indra puja. And then when Krishna's, he detected some pride in Indra and he wanted to teach a lesson to Indra. So he said, no, don't do Indra puja. Why Indra? He's already being worshipped by so many. Why we need to do? Actually, we're more dependent on the grasses here and the Govardhan the hill. They are providing, actually. And so in the beginning, Nanda said, yes, all right. But we can do the Govardhan puja, but also we'll do the Indra puja. We'll do the Indra puja and we'll do the Govardhan puja. But Krishna kept speaking. And no need to do it. And gave so many different reasons. And finally he was able to convince his father not even to do the Indra puja. So of course, that was some leela manifest by Krishna through the yoga maya, putting his father in a doubtful position, because Nanda is always eternally just devotee of Krishna. But nevertheless, we see that even great personalities, whether by arrangement of Krishna or otherwise, sometimes they become doubtful. Just like in Bengal, Durga Puja is very famous and very much worship is going on. So one time I was on the plane, one elderly man, he was going for the Durga Puja. So as I was trying to explain to him, yes, Durga, she is very great, she is a great goddess. Ultimately she is the energy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. Yes, that's right. So actually, if you just worship, yes, good, I will worship Krishna, but still I have to worship Durga. Because so many generations of the family. Anyway, these things are going on, but actually one doesn't need to worry. If one is worshipping Krishna, all the devas satisfied. Just like Prabhupada used to give the example of the you put the water to the root of the plant. If you want to nourish the whole plant, you put on the root. You don't need to. You can think, well, I put on the root, but I didn't put on the branch. I didn't put on the leaves. So, the plant will suffer. It'll die. The plant will die unless I put. But no, if you just put on the root, automatically, naturally, all the parts will be nourished. Just like you put the food in the mouth, you put in the stomach, and then all the parts of the body, you don't need to put directly in the eye. There was once the Brahmacharya Bhaktisiddhanta tells one story like that. There was one ignorant brahmana who was doing some type of puja and ceremony, and then at the end he was reciting one mantra. He was taking the offering and putting in the ear, and the eye is an Om Namo Karnaya in the ear. Then he was offering in the ear the food, offering in the eye, in the nose. He was like, so foolish. So someone came, another Brahmin, and said, what are you doing? With mantra, I'm offering, and because the food has to go to nourish, all the body needs to be nourished, so I'm putting like that. He said, no, don't be so ignorant. You're a very foolish man. You don't need, you just manufacture these mantras like this. You just put the food in the mouth, in the stomach, automatically ear, eyes. You don't need to put like this. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told that story to illustrate. We have to use our intelligence. Prabhupada used to say quite often that Krishna consciousness is so much is just common sense. Common sense and add Krishna. Common sense. Use your intelligence. Intelligence is most powerful. the most powerful, above all the body and the mind even, and tell it, use your, there was one story, another story that Prabhupada used to tell about the lion in the jungle, very ferocious, he was the biggest, everyone was afraid of him, and he used to indiscriminately go and kill so many animals, eat them, so all the other animals were very afraid of the big lion. So, you know, and they were running every day, running here, running there, very afraid. They didn't know which one of them was going to be killed next, or maybe a few together were going to be killed. But they had a meeting, say, let's go to the lion and just say, look, stop causing such terror and fear for us. We will just, one of us every day will come and sacrifice ourselves to you. So the lion heard that. Oh, all right. But I get hungry certain times, so you have to come this time. Don't be late. If you're late, then I will again resume what I was before doing. So, yes, they agreed. So every day one of the animals went, sacrificed themselves, the lion. But then it was the rabbit's turn. The rabbit's turn. So the rabbit, very intelligent, he came late. So the lion was very angry. Why you came late? Why you came late? He said, oh, I'm very sorry, Mr. Lion, but, you know, on the way, there was another lion. He also wanted to eat me. He was chasing me, and that's why I'm late. And the lion said, who is this other lion here who dares to come to my area, challenge me? Let us go there and see this other lion. So they were all, yes, yes, I will take you. So the rabbit led the lion, and then the lion, and then he took him to the well. And he said, he's in there. So the lion let out a roar. Roar! So the well was nearby, so it echoed back. Roar! Oh, this lion, who does he think he is? And he jumped up on the well, and he looked inside, there was water there, and the reflection was there. He roared, roar! And then again it came back, and then the lion, and he jumped in the well to attack that lion. But then the well was very deep, and then he was stuck in the well, and then he died. So the rabbit was looking in. So Prabhupada says, just see, the rabbit was more intelligent than the lion. The lion is so big and powerful, but actually intelligence is more stronger than physical strength and all these types of things. So intelligence, one has to use intelligence. If you can go directly to the source of everything, why go around about? Just like if you can go directly to the manufacturer, well, you'll get good price. But if you have to pay this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, then finally you have to pay 100 times price. So I was just thinking of a funny story Prabhupada told them. One time the devotees, they were shopping in Lloyd Bazaar. Prabhupada, we know in Lloyd Bazaar they're charging us so much extra, but we think that only we would maybe got charged double. Oh, double you think, they said. Double you think. You pay 10 times price. because this one charges, yeah, then pay this one. You paid some. Actually, one devotee told me, it's quite well known that in Vrindavan, the sellers, they have one price for the local people, one price for the ISKCON devotees who live there, other price for the foreign devotees who come. They have the three levels of the prices. And then if it can get more, good. So why go around about? I remember another time also, when Prabhupada, he was quoting this, he was speaking from this verse, and one question, you know, Divine Grace, in that verse it says that everyone follows my path. But yes, Prabhupada said, yes, but as you surrender unto him, he says also, he said, you can go directly to Krishna, or you go, he said, just like, here in the city, many skyscraper buildings. So the skyscraper, 50, 60 stories. So you can take stairs and climbing all day up to the 60th floor, 70th floor. Or you can take the elevator within one moment you're there. So what is the intelligence? Oh, I'll take the stairs. Maybe end of the day, office is closed even. You'll be there. So intelligence means you take the elevator, you go quick. So this is quick, direct. So Lord Brahma, he's stating like that. That is the topmost is direct hearing, chanting, and of the topmost, the love of the Vrajbasis. You know, Nanda Yasoda, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis and Srimati Radharani. That is the topmost position. But then he said, so they asked those who they cannot follow directly like that. Maybe they're due to circumstance, due to their nature, a combination of many things. But still, there is some benefit for them. Still, so a little bit concession by Lord Brahma. He said, all right, the topmost position is this, but if someone cannot do the topmost, just like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Patanaveyanamuta vinasastate vidite. He said, a transcendental engagement in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So someone who's actually on the transcendental path, but who doesn't reach the topmost perfection, these efforts are not lost. One who does good is never overcome by evil, Krishna says. They're permanently, they are there. And so Prabhupada actually states here in the purport very nicely. The purport of this can be understood as follows. Humanity may be divided in two sections, namely the regulated and non-regulated. Those who are engaged simply in bestial sense gratification without knowledge of their next life or spiritual salvation belong to the non-regulated section. And those who follow the principles of prescribed duties in the scriptures are classified among the regulated section. The non-regulated, both civilized, non-civilized, educated, uneducated, strong, weak, are full of animal propensity. Their activities are never auspicious, the Prabhupada said. They're never auspicious because they're enjoying, but they will just remain in the material existence. They don't know what is their next life. You know, there was that story that Prabhupada would tell, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would tell, that there was one sage, and he was a very great elevated soul. So many people would come to him and seek his blessing, take his darshan, seek his blessings. So one time, one prince came. So he touched his feet and said, "No, please give me some blessings." And the sage says, "May you live forever," because the prince was very rich, but he was very irresponsible. He said, "May you live forever, because in your next life then you will suffer." So then one hunter came. He was killing the animals. He was hunter. He asked some blessing. He said, "Oh, may you not live, may you not die," he said, "because your life now is horrible, and the next life will be more horrible. May you not live, may you not die." So then one brahmachari came, asked the blessings. He said, "Oh, may you die immediately, because you're doing tapasya, you're following everything, you're in good position. If you die now, you'll be elevated." Then one devotee came, asked some blessings. He said, "For you, doesn't matter you live, doesn't matter you die. For you, same activities. You're doing the devotional service now, you'll continue doing the devotional service." So this is the position. So non-regulated, who are just animal activities, they'll continue on in the material world. On the other hand, those who are regulated by the scriptural injunctions, they'll gradually rise and make progress. Prabhupada goes on to describe a little bit more that there are three types of people who follow the auspicious path. Those who follow rules and regulations in the scriptures, but they want to still enjoy in the world, that's one type. Others who want liberation from the world, that's a path of auspiciousness. And then there are the devotees. So those who the ones who don't follow anything, that is not at all auspicious. But those who follow some rules and regulations and gradually they will be elevated. Then those who are the next level more up is those who want to seeking the moksha. Next level up is devotees there with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are gradual positions. Gradual, the topmost position, as we've been saying, and then in the 12th chapter, Mayiva Mana Adatsva, Mayibudim Nevesha, Nivashishi Mayiva, Atakudvamna Samset, The topmost position is this. Just fix your mind on me, Krishna said. Supreme Personality, God, you engage all your intelligence in me. You will live with me always. Yomam pasati savata savam chami pasati. Krishna says, like, if one who sees me everywhere, sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. This is the topmost position. Topmost position. So Krishna states this to Arjuna. But then he says, if you cannot follow, atachitam samaratum nasaknushim yishtidam abhyasa yoganata mam it saptam janam. So in this, the first verse, Krishna's talking about the great advanced of Mahabhagavats. They're just thinking. They're not thinking other things. But those who cannot always be just thinking, sometimes they're thinking other things, follow the rules and the regulations of the Shastras, he says. You cannot fix your mind on me without deviation. Follow the regular principles of the Bhakti Yoga. In this way, a desire will be developed. Sometimes devotees ask me how to develop the desire. You pray to Krishna, and also by following the process of the Vaidhi Bhakti, that will also develop. Because you're purifying yourself, all the layers will be removed. The desire will become strong. But Krishna tells like that, and then he goes on, abhyasi pyasa matu si matkama paramo bhava maratim apikamani. He says, you cannot follow the regulations. And Prabhupada said, there are those who cannot follow the regulations. Then just try to work for me directly. Because doing some work for me, then you will gradually attain the perfectional stage. So you come and do some things at the temple, some work like that. You cannot follow the rules and regulations, but you do something to gradually. So then he goes on. He said, if you're unable to work directly, due to some circumstance, maybe the family members are opposed, maybe you live far away, maybe somebody, maybe your health is a problem. There can be all sorts of reasons. Maybe you can't come and do it directly. Then, whatever you're doing, give up the results of your work. Give up the results and make an offering. Sometimes we see that many, they come here, they put the rice, or they put the ghee, they put the milk, they put the flour, they put these things. This is very good. And Prabhupada goes on to say, actually, try to be self-situated. Now Prabhupada goes on to, sometimes someone cannot even directly offer something to Krishna. Then he says that, well, do some pious activity. This will gradually purify you from too much attachment to your possessions. Do some, give in charity. Give in charity for some ceremony, function, or if you can't do that, give in charity to make the well, to make the road. Just like in that many holy places in India, there's many dharmshalas, some rich persons have given that some accommodation for the pilgrims, they give in charity like that. They give food. You can give in charity for the sick people. So that's something. It's not directly the high level, but it's something. So then gradually, by doing these things, you'll come to a more detached position, and if you get the touch and association of the very great devotee, then that will bring you to the more transcendent position by their mercy. So this is more or less the statements of Lord Brahma, one cannot directly come to the topmost, then still, if you're attached to these rituals and ceremonies, still there's some benefit. That should be done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. That'll be very, very good. But they're very, very beneficial. Such acts of religion never go in vain. This is a final statement of Lord Brahma. Therefore, Prabhupada says, any pious act done on account of the Supreme Lord is always recommended here for those who are not pure devotees. All right, I'll read this verse again. But the pious activities of the people, such as performance of Vedic rituals, charity, austere penances, and transcendental service, performed with a view to worship you and satisfy you by offering you the fruitive results, are also beneficial. Such acts of religion never go in vain. Any questions? Someone wants to ask anything? Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
I'm
Well, I mean, the devotee will always try to directly engage someone in Krishna's service, but after trying to directly, if the devotee sees that, well, this one or that one and the other one, they cannot directly for some reason, even though I'm explaining these things, offering them. So therefore, then after trying to directly, then he sees, well, they cannot directly. So therefore, let me encourage him on this level or the other level, whatever is suitable for that particular personality. But then the devotee will always try to engage them in some type of direct Krishna consciousness, you know. Whether it's just taking them some prasadam or giving them a book or something like that, or you know, maybe they can come to a festival. Maybe they cannot take up the path of Krishna consciousness continuously, and maybe they're not very attracted. They want to do some other thing. Maybe they want to, they're with some other group or something like that. They cannot direct. So encourage them to be religious, to be pious. Just like Prabhupada, when he would visit, he would talk to the members of the different churches and groups and so on. And so he would always give them some Krishna consciousness, some prasadam. He always gave prasadam. And he would talk about Krishna. But because he saw they were attached to the particular path they were following, then he encouraged them to follow that path. Yeah. The Christians and so on. He would glorify Jesus Christ and so on. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
So you mentioned about the stairs and the elevator. So for Krishna, the one who takes the stairs and which takes much more effort, isn't it more dear for him?
More
dear. Such person would be more dear because it's so expensive to climb the stairs rather than take the elevator. You know, you have to do so much.
You're saying the person who climbed the stairs would be more dear?
Yeah.
No. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada emphasize taking the elevator?
Well, that's the question.
One time Prabhupada was walking here in the botanical gardens and he had some prasadam and there were some ducks. So he was throwing the prasadam and then they were quacking. Quack, 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 quack. And then some ducks were pushing the other ones to get the prasadam. Prabhupada said, see these ducks? They're pushing it. I give them more because they are trying to get more. Someone might think, oh, it's not fair. You didn't put the other. And Prabhupada said, they are very eager, so I reward them more. So someone who's intelligent takes the elevator. Oh, Krishna said, this one's intelligent. No, I mean, Krishna helps everyone. He'll help the one with the stairs as well. But he appreciates the intelligence of someone who takes the elevator more. Good, and there's better, and then there's best. Your effort is never bad, but it's not the best. You understand? Like one time, someone asked Prabhupada, and they said, Prabhupada, is taking too much prasadam bad? He said, taking prasadam can never be bad because it is prasadam, it's Krishna prasadam. But he said, it's not very good. I can't remember who asked that question. But how it can be bad. So any effort is good, but it maybe is not the best. So Krishna appreciates someone with good intelligence who's picked the best. And he'll help the other one who is a little bit less intelligent, but he appreciates. He rewards those who try more, who develop the good intelligence. He rewards them more even. And he tries to help the other ones also. Yes? But in Kali Yuga, we don't have to worry about that so much because it doesn't take any material energy. She's doing a good job of attracting everyone. Yeah, some special cases like that. It's not continuously they're doing like that. But there we read in the Shastras, some special case of Indra, someone who's doing some tapasya, doing some yajna, maybe they're trying to do the 100 ashvamedha yajnas. So he did like that previously, and that's how he became the Indra. So saying, oh, this one will displace me. So they're a bit worried about it. See, it shows that the demigods, even though they're very high, they're still a bit worried about their position. Who's going to come and challenge me? Whereas the devotee doesn't care about anybody. He's just under Krishna. But even the great devas are a little afraid of their position. They've got so much. Who's going to challenge me? So sometimes you read like that. Was that the nature of your question? Right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Radha Vallabha ki. Gaur Premanandi.